Welcome back to another Famous Monsters podcast. As always, we like to talk to you about horror, sci-fi, fantasy, and anything nerd-related. I'm your host, George, the jack-of-all-trades Marrero. With me, as always, is Eleni the Falcon!
It gets honorable. More complicated every time. I love it.
Gotta add little nuances to it, you know? Uh-huh. And, of course, we have our social media coordinator, Chase Hensley.
Pins and needles.
Pins and needles. Wub, 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 wub. We love that dubstep. Today we have a special announcement. I don't know how special it is. Yeah, I do. It's super special. Today's episode is brought to you by the Famous Monsters Halloween Convention, coming to you this October 27th to the 29th at the San Jose Convention Center. You can meet guests like the American Gods, Malcolm McDowell, Doug Jones, and experience haunt attractions, a live Rocky Horror performance, and even a free trick-or-treat trail for the kids. Want to know more? Go to FamousMonstersHalloween.com.
Yes, sir.
That was sweet.
That was good.
That's pretty
very
sweet.
Very special and exciting.
Right? It felt exciting.
Yeah.
But what's even also exciting is this Friday, Mother comes out with an exclamation point.
Yes.
To know that we mean it.
It's intense.
It looks intense.
It does.
Let's hear exactly how intense it is right now.
What brings you to us?
Well, they told me I could find a room here.
He thought we were at a bed and breakfast.
He's a stranger.
Hello?
Did you know he had a wife?
Who are these people?
They've come here to see me.
Come quick! You're insane!
God help you.
That was crazy!
I'm excited for this.
For those who don't know, Mother is written and directed by Cerebral Mind Effer, Darren Aronofsky. If that name sounds familiar, he did films like Requiem of a Dream, For a Dream, Noah, The Fountain, The Wrestler. I can keep on going.
Black Swan.
And that's actually pretty much it. I can't keep on going. That's it. We're done. No, he's done a lot of stuff. It all started, actually, Ember, for me, was with Pi. It's really the beginning where you get to see Aronofsky's, like, very intense, close visuals like he used in Requiem.
Mm-hmm.
But all those films, if you've seen his past films, have led, I think, up to a movie like Mother, where, like, he is a visceral, intense, cerebral kind of filmmaker where mm-hmm. he is, every little thing he does is calculated, you know? And from what I've seen in this trailer, first of all, anyone who has seen the Mother trailer, it is confusing as hell.
Yeah.
You know, when you see the teaser and to the full, like, 2-3 minute trailer, it's like, okay, there's some stuff going on. It looks cool, but what did I just watch again? What was that?
Yeah.
Things are definitely happening.
Yeah.
Just don't know what those things are.
Exactly.
I like it.
Like, we and you kind of talked about it, Lenny, and we were saying, like, you can kind of figure out what's happening. You think you know what's going on.
It sets out, like, enough of a narrative for you to at least kind of make a guess at, like, okay, what's happening. But it also, there's enough stuff in it that's vague where it's like, it's really hard to tell what exactly is going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, which I personally like a lot. Like, I've complained in the past about like how I don't like how trailers give out too much information. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, well, now I've seen the whole movie. What do I have to come back for? You know?
Right.
Well, with this, it's like, I'm given just enough information to see, like, I'm intrigued. And it's like, okay, well, and I've actually read a little bit about the movie too. And even reading what I know, it's like, I still don't know what's mm-hmm. happening. So from what I do know, I'll divulge it right now, is that Jennifer Lawrence obviously is married to Javier Bardem's character.
Uh-huh.
She is Mother. He is him. Weird names for characters. Like the character names are weird.
The character names are weird. Like I was looking at that yesterday on IMDb because I was like, I want to know like at least a little bit more about this because again, the trailer doesn't really give you that clear of an image. And all of them have weird names. It's like, like, Damsel, and I feel like there's one that says something about Paul Bear. Like, there's no actual names. They're titles. It's like,
exactly.
Like Stranger, He, Mother, like, yeah. So it's...
Which adds to the whole, like he's all about metaphors,
yeah,
you know, with his stuff. And this definitely, like, he's not even trying to hide it now, like, some of these metaphors now.
Right.
But from what I've seen, like, or what I've read, she is trying to renovate the house that they live in. Javier Bardem's character is a poet who's trying to like write his next epic of sorts or whatever. And there's gonna be like some disconnect between the two of them because he's trying to work on his thing while she's working on the house, and they're not really working on themselves, like the relationship. And then that's when the strangers come in.
Right.
And he lets them in. And somehow they become like this bed and breakfast hostel to a whole bunch of other people, and that's when the craziness ensues. But yeah. So even like knowing that and seeing the trailer, it's like I don't know what to expect. Like there's here's what I think is happening so far. I'll give my 2 cents and you guys let me know what you think.
Yeah.
From the trailer, there's definitely a disconnect between the two of them. And then we introducing these people, it feels like they're going to bring a spark, quote unquote, to their relationship. And at first, everything's going to seem cool and hunky-dory, like, ooh, we're experiencing new things in our home. But then we're going to find out, like, there's a past, which we kind of get from, like, the photos we see of him in their bags.
They have a photo
of him. And it's like, so, like, these people aren't strangers. There's more to this. And I also question, like, there's, like, religious ties into this somewhere. Because he's used, making Noah, of course, there's a religious tie. You know, Aronofsky obviously has that kind of thing in his background. But, like, I question that just, like, with the name of Mother.
Yeah.
You know, what does Mother mean more than just what we're thinking?
Right.
It does, you know, like Mother Nature or something, or Mother Earth or whatever, something to that extent.
Yeah.
You know, and especially when you see it in the trailer, the house itself starts deteriorating.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, well, what's that about? What does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, I question, like, what does the house represent in the whole equation of things? I don't have much. That's pretty much what I'm getting right now. You know, you only got like 2 minutes of a trailer. So. But yeah. Dinkin' words.
I think it's still just so confusing to me, but like you were saying about the trailers, like it was like, oh, the trailer gave everything away. And this one's like, I'm not giving anything away. You get to see the people that are in it. That's all you get. And I'm like, I really want to know what's happening, but I'm glad it's not giving everything away. But I'm kind of feeling like how you're saying, like there's like a disconnect. I don't know. I can't tell if that disconnect happens before the people show up or if it's just something that starts to happen after. Because then like when she says like, I found his picture in your bag, like your picture in his bag. And then he kind of looks at her like, what were you doing in his bag?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of stern about it too. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. To where it seems like he's siding with them. And clearly they have some sort of history.
Yes, exactly, which definitely adds to that.
Yeah, and it, like, I've seen someone, a couple people say something about how it kind of seems like Rosemary's Baby. Maybe there's, like you were saying, something to do with religion. Maybe there's some sort of, like, cult kind of thing going on. And he knows all these people, and he's set all this up. And then once they're there doing this stuff, those people start coming. He's able to go through whatever kind of ritual or whatever they're trying to do. And then it seems like the house starts deteriorating after those people show up. But then I also see her putting that, like that yellow liquid stuff, like some sort of medicine kind of thing.
In the water, she drinks. Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's something that people still do, or it seems like something from like
back in the day.
Back in the day when it's like, oh, your woman's trying
hysteria
to do
is
something.
A real
Yeah, she actually needs to take this if she's trying to think for herself. Right. Here, I've got a tonic for that.
Here's your stepford wife fluid. Put that in her.
I feel like that's. I was like, do people still put like stuff like that in their drink? Like, that's what it seemed like to me. It seemed like very backwards.
Yeah.
And maybe she's got some sort of mental stuff going on to where she has some issues before, and this is like really increasing it. But maybe I don't know, maybe there's history of that. Maybe if she does have some sort of thing going on in her head, it's actually related to what he's opening up by bringing these people into the house. And he's just trying to spark it and get it going. Still won't get Mother, though. Is she pregnant?
Maybe she lost
her baby. Don't know.
And got so traumatized that she forgot who she was and everyone else in her life other than her husband. If you want to go the mental illness
one. Yeah.
Because actually, I got a lot of Shutter Island vibes from the trailer.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of, like, the couple, like, narratives. Like, one of them, like, to me that I was like, well, this could be like a kind of like a cult thing, like you mentioned. Or to me, it just screamed sort of like the, like Shutter Island, like this whole, like, there was a ton of stuff that happened that she doesn't remember, and we're going to be following her as a narrator that we're going to find out later is an unreliable narrator the whole time, because, you kind of call that kind of stuff into question. But to me, those two things, like going like a cult, like Rosemary's Baby route, or like the Shutter Island route, I feel like the trailer gives just enough where either of those two things would be too obvious and neither one of them are going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to take it a totally, like, I feel like they're almost like red herrings in the trailer.
For sure. What's crazy, like, you've seen like the promotional posters, but one of the posters actually very much mirrors Rosemary's Baby poster, because the poster for Rosemary's Baby has the crib like silhouette,
yeah,
and then it has a face in the background, and then for this one there was the house silhouette and Jennifer Lawrence's face in the background.
Oh,
so almost like a sunset kind of look.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like they very much mirrored each other there. So it's like there is that question of like, is that on purpose? They did that as an homage, maybe. Mm. It's possible.
So many questions.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. I'm definitely want to see it this weekend. I'm excited for it.
Oh yeah.
I'm excited to see kind of like what level of horror it's at, because it seems like it's being very strongly marketed as a horror movie.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And if you compare it to like Black Swan, for example, it wasn't really marketed as a horror movie, and it wasn't really on its own horror movie, but it had a lot of horror elements where it could sort of get placed into that category. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if people would consider Black Swan to be a horror movie, albeit a very, like, atypical one.
Yeah.
So the fact that this one is being marketed as a horror movie makes me wonder, like, this might be a super, like, horrifying movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
if it's Darren Aronofsky going kind of straight up horror,
go
with
full
it.
On, which I've been waiting for a long time. Like, I've been a fan of this guy since I was a teenager in high school. It's like watching his films and Christopher Nolan, the two of them. It's like I want to be a filmmaker someday. Like, I want to be in the business somehow, creating stories. Like, these are the guys who definitely put in that that thought in my head. It's like, this is it. That's what I got to do with my life. And I'm doing it right now on this podcast. But no, seriously, like, I remember watching it was, I think, prom night. We were coming home, all me and my friends, and one of my best friends who ended up moving to Florida, he came back to our prom to finish it off with us. And he's like, you guys got to see this movie. We rented a bunch of movies, like, this is the movie we got to watch, Requiem for a Dream. Never heard of it, and I was like, all right, let's watch it. Yeah, yeah. We're all with, like, our significant others of that time and everything. And this, to me, this is not a date movie.
No.
At all. Like, we just had prom.
Yeah.
You know, the next day. We stayed up all night. We broke night. And this is what we're doing the next day. It's like, we're watching this movie. It's like, this was not romantic in any way. It's like, for those who are not familiar with Requiem for a Dream, all right, it's two best friends. One of them has his girlfriend. And the three of them are on this drug adventure. And then to add to that, also the main character's mother is also dealing with her own drug addictions, not in the same way that they are, because they're addicted to heroin. And the three of those people go through their own journey of how they deal with that drug addiction and struggle. But it's all super intense. Like, every scene is close up. Like, you see the needle going into the arm, like, in your face. The eyes freaking getting big, and the blood and everything pumping, and all of the scenes. Like, it's. As someone who grew up with family who was drug addicted, it took that and just flipped it on its head in a way. I was like, I knew that stuff was dangerous, but this put it in my mind. It's like, it's beyond dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to mess up your world in ways that it's like, you'd rather go to war and kill somebody than do this.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was so intense. It's like, to me, like, I've said it before to people, I think it's starting you, Chase. It's like, that movie scares me more than any other horror movie in the world. Like, to me, that is a horror film.
Yeah.
You know, what he did in that movie, like, it was just mind blowing with every scene. And it's possibly one of my favorite films to this day. But like, I think it's like, man, this is what this guy is doing with real life situations. Yeah. And he's making it scary.
And it's kind of the same in Black Swan too. Like that's like turning the basically like the overbearing like mental illness and like hyperfixation on being perfect and making it like kind of like you said, the visual metaphor of how horrifying that is and putting it like in real life where you see her like killing people and her legs bending backwards and
how creepy was that
pulling feathers out of it. And like her eyes are turning black, like the whole, it took traditional like horror movie elements and put them in a movie that's not a traditional horror movie, and I feel like that's why I liked it so much.
Yeah,
because it was a creepy movie to watch. Yeah. For that reason.
No, for sure. Agree. I think what he does amazing well, and not that other filmmakers don't, but something that I like about him is that you think of a movie like Requiem, you think of The Wrestler, which it's, you compare that movie to the rest of them, it's like, in one way, like, he made that movie? It's just this drama, like, about this guy who's trying to keep his life together, pretty much. You know, never mind that there's wrestling involved or whatever. Right. It's a guy just trying to survive. But wrestling is our focal point. That's what they're using. But like wrestling, drug addiction, ballet. And he takes those things and he shows you the raw grittiness of what it's like to be in that situation. You know, that he makes it so real. You know, and that's what I really attach to with all of his films. Like you could tell like that a lot of thought is put into this. Yeah. Like he does his research, whether he's like a fan of wrestling, ballet or whatever, you'd never know. Like if he wasn't, you take for granted that he must have been in these things growing up. Because of how well he knows the subject that he's taking upon in these films. Chase?
Yup.
Your face is just like, yeah, man.
Just like when you're saying that, I was just thinking of all these things. Like, I was thinking of The Fountain.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, like, it's, like, in-depth. Like, this is what it's like if you're dealing with, like, not only being with someone that has the cancer, but, like, trying to fix it, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's crazy. It's overwhelming me. I'm like,
that's true. You know, one thing I like about him is like, keep speaking up The Fountain, is that he's a filmmaker that's also tried different things. Like The Fountain started off as a graphic novel, you know. Nowhere started off as a graphic novel, you know. And that's, I feel like when he did that, that was probably what, early 2000s, something like that, right? And that's pretty much when comic books are really starting to come into the movie play scene, you know, with things like X-Men and Spider-Man and stuff like that. I feel like he was one of the filmmakers early on kind of figured that out. It's like, I can make my movie by making this comic book. And people, like, I think he realized that was a way to get your stories out there. And yeah. I thought that was very interesting and brave at that time, considering no one, like, now people do it all the time. Like, yeah. it's like a no-brainer for everyone. Like Lionsgate is like, yeah, sure, this is or Legendary. Yeah. They're like, let's just make comic books. Let's make comic books, and then we'll make movies. Boom. It's like simple, duh.
Yeah.
You know? But back then, no one was really thinking about that. I feel like he was one of those filmmakers, and early on, it's like, oh, wait a second here. Okay.
It kind of makes sense if you're going through and storyboarding everything to exactly. turn it yeah. into a novel yeah. of that.
And I always love this novel. If you ever read his books, like, the art for those things is just as mind-bending as his films. Like, he finds, like, I don't know if he's the one who's looking for these artists or whatnot, but whoever the person is, the artist to do the stories, like, sometimes I feel like they have to be just as twisted as he is in a great artistic way, you know, to, like, tell these stories. Like, if you see The Fountain book, like, it's like walking to, like, a Picasso art gallery, you know, like, just discovering, like, I don't have to do things by the book. I can color outside the lines, you know, and create something brand new. That's how it felt when I first read that book. And I read the book after I saw the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, what is he doing? This is crazy.
Pretty much everything he does is just crazy. It's intense.
Yeah.
Taking all of that into consideration makes me even like more sort of like curious about what Mother is going to end up actually being about. Because it really seems like one of those things, like, you can't tell what his movies are actually going to be about until you watch them. And you're just like, oh, Now I get it. Yeah,
and they definitely take multiple views. Yeah. Like, you can't watch his movies just once.
Right.
And expect to, like, get every little thing. Mm-hmm. You know, they're definitely, like, multiple views. And as every time you watch, it's like, oh, wow, I didn't notice that before. Did mm-hmm. you see that?
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. And I'm excited because there's people who've already seen the movie and giving their reviews. And a lot of people are getting upset.
Upset?
With this. Yeah, like, it's getting...
I haven't read any reviews yet.
I heard it's like 50-50. Like, some people are saying, like, it's the most mind-altering in a positive way experience ever. Yeah. And other people are, like, super upset.
Yeah, like, I've seen, like, people putting it down, like, say, like, it was offensive or whatever. Because I guess it does hit upon, like, some religious views, if you take it that way. And just, it's definitely a commentary on, like, current issues and life. Mm. And I'm agreeing this stuff. I was like, that sounds great. Yeah. Where's the bad part? It's like, it's not real, you know? Why would you get upset about this? But because of that, like, it's getting me more intrigued now. It's well, now I really want to see this. Like, why? What's getting people all mad and everything?
Yeah.
This is happening.
It's going down.
Definitely. We're
going
to watch it.
It's like the one we talk about. It's like, yeah, mother. Yeah.
Versus, like, when I first heard of it and, like, saw the preview, I was like, that's kind of weird. I like him. I just don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, that's, I was sort of like, okay. I'm not a Jennifer Lawrence fan, so I was just gonna like pass on it.
You don't love J-Law?
No, I don't. I do love Javier Bardem.
Can I just say how much I respect Eleni for saying that?
I'm just
because,
like,
I'm on that train also.
Yeah.
Like, she's cute and all, and she can't act, but
I don't hate her. I just don't really care that much. Like, and it I'm definitely one of those people that, like, when, like mainstream audiences start caring too much about one thing, it definitely makes me back off. And everyone was so obsessed with her for a while. I was just like, is she, like, really? Like, that, okay. She was good.
I think what it was...
I don't have, like, a lot of strong complaints about her, but I just, like, I don't really, like, I'm not a fan of hers, so I don't really care that much. But I love Javier Bardem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, is my distaste for Jennifer Lawrence outweigh my love for Javier Bardem? Who's going to win? But
that's great.
Yeah.
Darren did it for me.
Yeah.
Darren, it's like,
yeah,
I don't even think about, like, when I first saw the poster for this movie, that was the first thing that got leaked, was, like, the poster. It was this mm-hmm. nice painting of her, Jennifer Lawrence holding, I think, her heart in her hand. And it's just like, mother, it's like, I don't know what this is about. But I see Darren Aronofsky's name on it. I'm sold. Yep. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. I don't even care. I didn't see her. I was that name. I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Does he have Clint Mansell doing the music?
I don't know.
I'll look at
it. I hope so. I love me some Clint.
I feel like from the trailer alone, the music seems like it's going to be right up there with everything else he's done.
From what I've heard in the trailers, it doesn't sound like what I heard, like, in Requiem or what I heard in The Fountain. But then again, it's based for horror, so it could still be Clint doing it, but he could have gone a different way with it.
Yeah, I think because there's... When you think of those movies and this one, like, there's... The music has a lot of emotion in it that feels like it's... It drives it forward. That's what it's like, listening to the 30-second clip that we had earlier. It's like, you can actually just listen to that.
Yeah.
And you feel like you're in the moment still, even though you can't see anything. You know,
It says music by Johan Johansson.
That name sounds familiar.
It does.
Yep, that's what I got. Yeah, so it doesn't look like it's.
Well, Johan, since... you're doing something right.
Yeah, I like it. I like what you're doing, man.
Since I'm
I like
on...
what you're spreading on that bread, baby.
Oh, that's real nice.
Since I'm on IMDb, here's a piece of trivia that I just found. Ooh. Jennifer Lawrence got so much into her character that during the climactic scenes, she started hyperventilating and even cracked a rib.
Wow.
Damn.
That's pretty intense.
Wow. I'm curious what happens if she cracked a rib.
Yeah. I know.
I imagine it's nothing. She doesn't, like, fall down or anything. She's just, like, screaming so hard that she cracked a rib.
Yeah, that's what, like, I'm imagining her, like, hyperventilating so hard it, like, damaged her rib.
Yeah.
Sheesh, calm down.
I mean, that it could be two separate things.
That's some Gilda Radner kind of stuff right there.
Now I'm going to be looking out, like, for when that moment was.
Right?
When I see it, I'm like, oh, what was the part where she messed up her rib?
Yeah, right? I'm definitely...
Yeah.
that sounds insane to me. It's like, oh, what happened to you? Cracked my rib. How'd you do that? Hyperventilated.
That's hardcore. Okay. As if hyperventilating isn't bad enough on its own.
I feel like that's not how you tell the story, though. It's like, I acted so hard, I cracked a rib.
Yeah.
I acted
to the max. I cracked my rib through sheer force of will.
And that's how you, that's the story when she gets the next Oscar.
Right.
Which I have been hearing that, at least. Like that. Yeah. It seems like her performance in this is going to be maybe another Oscar nod. Yeah. Which I will say, from what I've seen so far, I think I could see that, maybe. Yeah. You know? Like, saying earlier, like, I don't want to backtrack and like say how much like we don't approve of J-Law, you know. But I remember seeing like Silver Linings Playbook because my friend's like, George, you got to watch this. Actually, it was the same friend who got me to watch Requiem. But it's like, if you have not seen this yet, then I don't know why you're still living.
I didn't see it.
Those are exact words. And I was like, okay, wow, damn. I got to watch this tonight then. I watched it and I was like, okay. Was I entertained? I guess. Oscars for this movie, though? Really? Okay. I don't see it. I don't know why this is, like, this was, like, the big, like, it was the movie talked about all year. Like, this is it. This is the movie of all movies.
Really,
I was like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I watched it. I thought it was alright. I didn't think
it was just an okay film.
Yeah.
But, like, it was, like, game-changing for that moment. It brought me back to, like, when Avatar came out. And not the Avatar that we don't speak of by Shyamalan, but like the Avatar that I choose not to speak of, which is by Cameron.
Like, I'm really whatever about that movie too.
Yeah, like it got so hyped, like it was overhyped, and I remember watching it because like everyone's like, George, like,
visually,
this is it.
Visually, yeah, it looked nice,
and it was just okay to me. The visuals, it was like okay.
Yeah,
like,
they didn't change my life, and honestly, like if that's what was the selling point of the movie, he should have at least cared enough about the plot to not make it be blue Pocahontas. If we want to be realistic about it,
yeah,
it was the most tired story I could have possibly come up with.
I couldn't agree more. I remember, like, I got into arguments with friends about that film.
Yeah, I was like, okay, like, or I saw it.
One friend.
Now I don't have to watch it again.
But yeah, it was like one of those things. Like, George, like you're the like. Back, I'm from Massachusetts originally, and back there, like, it's not like we have a lot of people in our small town where I was from, that where I was like huge into movies. Mm-hmm. So me and my small crew, who were all into drama and all that stuff, we were the movie guys. And it's like everyone was like, George, you're the movie guy. It's like, you gotta watch me. You gotta love this movie. Like, this is it. This is the movie to end all movies. Guy freaking brought us Terminator, Titanic, and I was like, oh, if you're gonna use Titanic as your example. All right, just back it up. All right.
There was enough for two people on that door.
Yeah, it's like movies about a thing that already happened don't really appeal to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
there's not much of a titillating grab of like, well, I wonder what's going to happen next. Oh, I know what's going to happen. I read it in a book. Yeah. All right. They taught it to me in school. All right. They all die. I know this already. All right. There's no surprises here. You know, and not to hate on all movies like war movies and stuff like that can still have some kind of. But this movie honestly didn't do anything to me. It was like, oh, wow, yeah, that was different. You know?
I like, this is a tangent, I like horror movies that end differently than how history really did. I'm thinking specifically of Inglourious Basterds right now, because that was a fun.
Yes, I can agree with that.
But that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was really whatever on Avatar. Yeah. I never watched
Silver Linings Playbook. I'm with my people.
Playbook.
You didn't miss much.
I just, like, at this point, I know what kind of movies are my type and not my type.
Yeah.
And I'm not into emotional dramas or things that kind of hinge around a relationship or romantic tension. Like, I just don't care about that kind of stuff.
You sound like Jen.
I don't know. I just am not sold by it.
I think it's because the characters in that were kind of like, there's just a certain behavior of people that I really don't like.
Mm.
And her character in that movie was that. If I'm remembering correctly. Or it might have been both of them, him and her.
Well, the whole thing was that they had bipolar disorder, right? Am I?
He definitely did.
He did?
Yeah.
She was.
She possibly did. They just never said it.
Yeah. Okay. It's like, I'm trying to think of the right way to say it. Kind of like, it almost feels like they're like, I'm too cool to be bothered by certain things, and then I get dramatic about other certain things. Mm-hmm. That kind of attitude, she's like, just be cool or don't be cool, but if you're not cool, don't talk to me. It's like, I don't want to watch a whole movie about people that just aren't cool, just being annoying to each other. That's not my jam.
Yeah. Life notes, everybody who makes a movie, be cool.
Yeah, just be cool, right? Man.
Just be cool.
People like seeing other cool people being cool to each other. And if you're cool enough, people be cool to you too.
Yeah. That's how Dracula lived his life, man. Dracula was always cool. Just be cool and you'll be cool too.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure that's how it was, yeah. I want to say that's what he said to himself every day when he looked in the mirror. He didn't see anything.
He didn't see anything, yeah.
He was just like, hey, man, just be cool, man. Just be cool. You don't see anything, but just be cool, man. They won't know. They won't know.
Damn, vampires can never give themselves pep talks. I just realized that. They can't ever have that.
Well, not in the mirror look, I guess, no.
Not in the mirror. They cannot look at their reflection and give themselves a pep talk.
Draw a stick figure vampire and just hold it up like, what are you doing? You're better than this.
Today's the day.
I don't know why I imagine like a taxi driver scene.
Oh my God.
Like, he's just like, you talking to me? Are you talking to me? He's a Jewish vampire, by the way. You can't be talking to me because there's nothing there. Oh, damn. Oy vey.
Jewish vampires, they exist.
Side note, I've heard Olivia was telling me about a Jewish possession movie where it's a Jewish demon possessing someone and a rabbi has to take care of it.
What's called a debauch or something like that?
It was on Netflix and now it's not. I know the movie. And I really want to see it.
I like that. It was a good movie. Really? I can't remember what it's called now, but I think they call their demons like debauchs or something like that.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Anyway, that's on my list of movies to see.
Yeah, this girl had like this little, this box thing or whatever, and it was cursed or possessed by a demon or something like that. And so they had to go get it checked out by the rabbi, and they're like, I don't want any part of this. And everyone's like, someone has to do something about this. I'll do it. I'll help you. And then bad things happen.
They usually do it in movies like that.
Now I'm curious towards what a Jewish demon is like.
That's why I really want to see it. I'm just like, finally. I mean,
finally a Jewish demon.
Well, again, going back to our possession episode,
yeah.
Those are my favorite and I love them. And I love all the Christian like demons and everything. But it's cool to have some variety.
Yeah, true.
I want to know about other... Was it The Possession?
I'm pretty sure.
I feel like I've heard of him. We call it The Possession. I didn't know it was about a Jewish demon.
Oh, that's still on Netflix then, I think. Anyway, going back to Mother.
Non-Jewish demon movies.
Right.
That's going to be lurking in my head now, though, for the rest of the day. I just want you to know that. I'm going to imagine it's like, well, what's he going to do different from a regular Christian demon?
I know. That's why I really want to see it. I'm so curious. I want to know what their edge is.
And that movie has Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who looks a lot like...
Oh, really? Oh, he's in that?
I confuse the two sometimes. Like, if I just glance at them, I'm like, hey, it's... No. Wait a second. No, that's the dad from Supernatural, not the guy from the new Pirates movie. Hold on.
Right.
Javier Bardem. Yeah, it's true. As he ages, the two of them look very similar, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to like when he first was getting big, I thought he was like Robert Downey Jr. at times. The Watchmen trailer came out, I was like, oh snap, Robert Downey Jr. is going to be in the Watchmen too? Damn, he's up everywhere. He's Iron Man. He's a comedian. What is it? Oh, that's not him. Oh, okay. I'm stupid. Stop being stupid, George. Realize who actors are. But yeah, he definitely has one of those faces that morphs and you kind of don't realize who he is until later on. But I'm excited to even watch it anymore. I like that guy. He's really good.
I love him. Yeah. He was so good in No Country for Old Men. Even with that horrible haircut. I feel like it really added to the character. I'm being totally serious.
That hair was pretty bad.
It was bad. That's why he was such a good character, I think.
Yeah.
He was just living that bad haircut.
Bad hair, bad guy.
He looks so much better for this movie.
Now that he's cleaned up. Not a high bar.
No. just, every time I see it, I just imagine him with that hair. He's like, what were you doing in his bag? I'm like, oh, looking for a hairbrush. Yeah.
No, it's crazy. I just read recently that because they're going to be doing a Lucille Ball movie. And he's going to be playing Ricky Ricky. Ricky Desi. Ricardo. Or Desi Arnaz, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm curious to what I was going to be, because I was a pretty decent Lucy fan growing up. Mm-hmm. Thanks to my mom. My mom loved the crap out of Lucy. Like, mm-hmm. that was, like, her idol. I think till this day she still looks up to that lady, which yeah. is reasonable. She was a badass woman yeah. back in the day, you know. But as people most know, Desi Arnaz was Cuban. Mm-hmm. Javier Bardem is Spaniard. Not exactly the same accent. I've never seen Javier do any other accent but the accent he has.
Yeah.
So I'm curious how that's going to play out. Not to mention he looks nothing like Desi Arnaz at all. I don't know if there's like, hey, one Spanish guy is another Spanish guy. No one is going to know the difference. Just put some like...
That would be typical Hollywood.
What did he use? Shoe polish. That's what he was using his hair back in the day. Let's put shoe polish in his hair. Boom. He's Ricky Ricardo.
That sounds wonderful.
But yeah. I'm just curious how that's going to play out. Yeah. And they're going to have Kate Blanchett's going to play Lucy.
Oh.
Yeah. Which is another choice. Which like, I can kind of see how they could pull it off, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know if that's the right yeah. person still.
Yeah, that's like very much like when you said that just now, like it made sense in my head for like a second, and then I started yeah. thinking about the two of them, and I was like, huh, how is that going to go?
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
But she's definitely a chameleon of an actress. Oh, like, yeah, I've seen her do so many different things. Like, she's okay, so I think she can yeah. pull it off. You know,
mm-hmm.
and he's a good actor. It's just, it's the voice thing for me. It's like having a Spanish accent doesn't mean that you have every Spanish accent.
Yeah, no, that's very,
you know,
very different.
Especially like people from Spain, like there's a lisp when they talk. So I just imagine like, Lucy, what are you doing, Lucy?
You know. yeah.
But yeah, that's just me. Not to rag on Javier, but I'm a little thing I read recently.
Yeah.
But, speaking of more of that, though, of Javier in this movie,
mm-hmm.
here's something that it was a little... I know they're all actors. They could pretend to be whatever, all right? So let's get that out of the way right now. Uh-huh. But there's quite the age gap between Javier Bardem and Jennifer Lawrence.
I was yeah. wondering how that was going to play into it, because they're not doing anything to change that.
Yeah.
Nope.
Which it really popped into my head a lot more as you were talking about the whole, like, what if she's crazy? Kind yeah. of thing. And it's like, well, yeah, what if she's crazy? What if there is a cult? It's like, maybe that would add to, like, the whole age thing then, because there's quite an age difference there. She's yeah. in her 20s. He's, like, 40s, 50s. I don't even know how old he is. I know he's older than me, and I'm older than her.
No, I want to look that up, too.
But it's like, what if it is always, like, he's been doing this for a while? You know, like, she's not the first yeah. person that he's taken to this house
totally,
or whatever.
Like,
I don't
style.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So it made me think of that. It's like, because that's... quite drastic, and that's something that's been happening in her career for a while. Like she's quite a young person, and they put her in these roles where she's supposed to be playing like an older person. Like in Joy, she played like a much older woman.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, and it's like she doesn't portray older to me.
Yeah, no, she
at
totally
all.
Because I think she's about exactly my age. She's like 26 or 27, right?
Yeah, she's young.
Something like that. And yeah, when they were like, oh, she's playing that QVC lady, and it's like,
what?
Isn't that
what?
Lady old? Like, yeah, they're doing it when she's young. Oh, he's actually only 48. He looks older.
Only 48. It's like over
yeah.
over 20 years
yeah,
older
okay,
than
I
her.
Guess that is like just a couple
old
years
enough to
younger.
Be your dad.
I was going to say that is a couple years younger than my parents. My parents are like early 50s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's he's like double her age.
From
yeah.
like ish. what I've read is she was the first person to get a part. And then after that, they gathered everyone else up. And so it's kind of like someone was saying something like, oh, why would they use someone that's so young to be with them?
Yeah.
You know, and then now it's kind of like someone's like pointed that out. So it's like, why are they getting someone that's so much older? You know, not like mm-hmm. so much older, but older enough to
yeah.
where you can tell there's an age difference. You know, it's not like a 5-year kind of thing or even like an 8 or 10 year. It's like it seems older than 10, right? Yeah. It's like more than a decade difference.
Yeah.
But it's like, so that must be part of, I feel like that would probably have to be part of the story, or else it's just everyone else that tried off that part really sucked. And it's like,
or
well, of course
really
he gets
wanted
it.
Her star power or something.
Yeah.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, and like, even for like things I kind of question what's happening at the movie, because I don't know if you guys have seen recently, she had put some tweet out there, as most actors do, putting out those tweets that has a political angle to it. And so, like, everyone saw, like, the hurricane that unfortunately happened to the Caribbean. Irma, what was her name? Yeah.
Hurricane Irma.
And so she had said, you know, all these hurricanes, it's Trump's fault. I'm obviously, you know, flubbing some of the exactness of this, but she had tweeted out something like, you know, all this is Mother Nature pretty much saying, like, Trump is a mistake and Mother Nature's trying to fix some things. Like, this is Mother Nature reacting.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of an interesting take on it.
Yeah. But it just made me think, it's like, wait a second. Is this a publicity stunt to promote the movie? Because Mother Nature. Is like, and that's what made me think even more. It's like, there must be some metaphor in the film about that. Her being mother and Mother Nature of some sort. You know? And it made me question that a little bit. It's like, or is this just Jennifer Lawrence being Jennifer Lawrence?
It could be.
You know, it's like, keeping it real all the time. Don't.
Even if it's really not legitimate.
Yeah.
This is really not real.
Yeah.
Here's another interesting thing I learned the other day about Javier Bardem. He's actually the only person cast in the next Universal Dark Universe.
Mm. Oh.
He's going to be the monster. Frankenstein's monster in Bride of Frankenstein remake.
Hmm.
Nice.
I know. I'm really excited to see that. No one else is listed on IMDb as being cast for that yet.
I like that.
It's just him as Frankenstein's monster. So probably sweet.
See, I'm gonna be honest. I'm at a place of like disarray where like I want to be excited for what you just told me because I do like him too. It's like, all right, I could see that. He'd be really cool as the monster.
Yeah.
But then I'm thinking back of the mummy and I was like, wait a second, but the mummy happened. And that, man, what's going to happen?
I hope they get their act together in time for that because that's not coming out until 2019.
Yeah.
It says.
I'm still worried though. I'm a little worried. You know.
How tall is he?
I don't know. Taller than Tom Cruise?
Well, that's a given.
Low bar. Like, physically literally low. So yeah.
I don't know.
He always wins in Limbo.
It might not matter. Like, Robert De Niro isn't that tall of a person, and he played Frankenstein, or the monster, I should say. So height never really affects me at those kind of decisions. I think he'll act his ass off though, as the monster.
He doesn't seem like he's short, so even if he is, they're good at making him not look short.
Yeah.
Yeah, they make Tom Cruise look pretty normal size most of the time.
Camera angles,
really,
baby. And lifts.
Do you have a tendency to watch movies with Tom Cruise in it?
Oh, you're missing out.
Why?
He actually does do some good films. I'm a Tom Cruise fan.
I'm not a Tom Cruise fan. Oh,
I definitely am. I'm just not a fan of the stuff he's done lately.
Because
it's all just Mission Impossible over and over again.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of Jack Reacher and I was getting so irritated. Yeah.
No, I know what it is. I think I'm still a fan of pre-Crazy Couch days.
Yeah.
You know, like before those days, it's like before that happened, those days, like he was a phenomenal actor.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't always just running from something. Like
Collateral
was great. Yeah.
Collateral was great.
And that was actually after craziness happened.
Was it really?
Yeah. I believe so. Yeah. But that's like Michael Mann film too. Michael Mann does great films.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of him as a person.
Oh, acting's, I'm with you on that. Yeah.
Acting's good when it's not Mission Impossible 27.
Yeah. And, you know, in all fairness, like, every movie he's in, he is a really good actor still.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, I don't always, like, as much as I love Mission Impossible films, they are great, they're entertaining, I don't always want to see him running away from something or jumping off of a huge thing that he could die from. That's not always something I'm, like, I want to see him back in a film like Magnolia. Magnolia gives me like that name drop of movies where it's like, oh man, he acted his ass off in that movie. You know, I want that's Tom Cruise I want back. That's the Tom Cruise I miss. Come back to me, Tom Cruise.
Maybe come back.
You short, agile man, you.
Yeah. And I gotta give him credit for that.
Non-aging.
The dude's getting up there and he still does all of his own stunts and everything. Yeah. Like he's still got it. I gotta give him that. But yeah, don't sign Tom Cruise. Like he has a new movie out now, I think. Actually,
the one about
which looks like he's acting again. Granted, there is some running, but
and flying a plane.
It's just one of those things that I don't really have a basis for.
Yeah,
like I don't think that he's a bad actor. I just personally don't like him, and I don't know. It's yeah. one of those things for me. It's one of my own personal hangups that I'm letting get in the way of everything else and that I'm not super motivated to get past.
Yeah. I feel that. Well, I will say, like, you can avoid, obviously, all the Mission Impossibles if you choose to. But, yeah, like, the movies where he actually is really acting, they're worthwhile.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can stand by that.
I'm still excited for... Hopefully, Universal got its one hiccup out of the way.
Yeah.
And kind of goes to... I feel strongly that horror is going to start being something that kind of people put more into and take more seriously lately and in the future. Because if you think about, like It, that blew it out of the water.
Can we talk about that? Yeah, let's talk about It.
I'm
I know we're talking about, Mother, tonight. But... Let's talk about
it. I'm seeing it again tonight.
Yeah, we got to bring it back because we talked about it last week. We mm-hmm. watched it last week. How can we not?
This could be like a part Mother, part It.
Yes, Mother It.
Mother It.
The Mother of Cousin It.
What were your thoughts on It last week?
Oh my God. I have like, I cannot think of a complaint really. Like I loved it. As soon as we were done watching it, I was like, I'm so ready to see this again. It really blew my expectations out of the water because I was like, okay, I get the feeling that this is going to be good, like we were talking about on the podcast last week. But I didn't know it was going to be amazing. Like, I feel like it did a really good job of not just being a horror movie, not just being like an awesome coming of age movie. But also being a really amazing period piece.
Yeah.
I felt like the balance that they added of the humor and the horror made it something that was super easy to watch and probably will be easy to watch over and over and over again. Because that's something that, like, a lot of horror, like, the sort of, like, run-of-the-mill, like, horror lately is so, like, horror, horror, horror all the time. I think adding in... all of the jokes, all of the dialogue just made each character, like, so much more of a complete character.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah.
I have watched a huge part of the original It over the last few days. I've been watching it on YouTube. I think that this was a really good remake of not only just the original, but the book for modern audiences, and I'm so excited to see chapter 2. Yes. Like, granted, I feel like the part with the kids is always going to be the kind of stronger part, because so much of, like, what that, like, that Stephen King is.
Yeah,
like
a lot of his films are, pins and needles. wub. Dubstep transition. Yeah, I was going to agree. Like, Stephen King's stories definitely usually have a child mm-hmm. or children that it caters around, where they're the focal point and you're experiencing everything them. Mm-hmm. But Chase, what were you going to say? What's your take on the film?
Like, a lot of it focuses, like, on the loss of innocence, mm-hmm. too. And you don't have that so much with adults, because they've already, by the time you're an adult, you've already changed from innocent to... no longer.
Innocence is lost. Yeah.
So it's like that transition period, and you see the kids going through the things that are, like, changing them.
Mm.
You know, it's like that doesn't happen. Like, by the time you're an adult, for the most part, everything in your life is already set. You're not normally making too many changes.
Yeah.
You know, once in a while, there may be, like, this one really big change. Like, when you're growing up, there's, like, so many, like, life changes. Yeah. You know?
I feel like it also, like, it's so hard for it to be as much of an underdog story. Like, here you have a band of children fighting this elder horror, which is another thing I really liked about this version. Because when you're watching the original, it's like, that totally is like a creepy clown guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's a clown you meet in life, and he happens to just have some, like, supernatural elements that he can do. Like, there was no part of this movie where I was like, that's a human being.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That is straight up not a human. And this is clearly some sort of, like, eldritch horror being trying to act like a human to lure kids in because they don't know any better. But even so, going through the motions of, like, when it's got her down in the sewer and it's, like, got its whole, like, circus show happening and it's, like, dancing with the head image stabilization.
Which he only danced once.
Yeah. He still only danced. No, I was a huge fan of it.
Yeah, I have to agree. Like, I thought it was going to be good, as we said before. Like, I expected it to be good. I didn't think it was going to be that good. Like, so good that I was like, I think I would stay sitting here and watch it again right now. Like, totally. I don't want to get up from my seat. Let's play it again.
Yeah.
Repeat it.
Like, I told you guys yesterday, it very much had that, like, that feeling for, like, when you go on a roller coaster, if you're a fan of roller coasters.
Of course.
we talked about that, too. When you immediately, like, hop off and you're just like, we have to do that again. So you run around and get back in line. Or if you're lucky, it's, like, right as the park is closing and there's no line. Yeah. He's like, one more time and then just shoots you off again. That's my favorite thing because I've had that happen a few times in my life. And that's one of my favorite things. It very much had that feeling of I was totally right there with you. I was like, I want to see this again right now.
Yeah. And I feel like this might be one of those movies also because it had Easter eggs in it. For people who are fans of the book or fans of the TV series.
And or like, just Stephen King in general.
Yeah. You know, like it was a lot of nuances.
He was wearing that had the
freezies or something. Yep. Yeah.
Also, there was the Gremlins poster in the background, the Beetlejuice poster.
We're going to talk about some posters. How about that New Kids on the Block poster?
Totally.
I guess it was weird. Like, there was a few New Kids references because it was in the 80s. You know, it was like 1988. And it was weird. In the showing that we went to, I felt like no one caught on to this little joke that the girl says to Ben as he got when he got slashed. And, like, they're trying to wrap him up or anything. And she's like, do you think he has the right stuff to patch you up? And I'm laughing my ass off because it's the name of one of their songs.
It was you, and then I think some of the people sitting right behind us.
Yeah, but most of the audience was just quiet.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, was like, no one around for the 80s when that happened? No,
that's a good joke.
Yeah,
you should be joining in the laughter.
And I felt so alone. I was like, I guess I'm the only 80s kid alive. But like I said, the humor played up so well against all of the scary moments. Like, the scary moments were, like, even if some of them were, like, I will say, if my only complaint, if this thing to complain about, is that there was one trope that they kind of honed in on, which is every time Pennywise came up, like, he charged. He had this charge of fear that he came, like, you know? And it's like, all right, you did it once. You don't have to keep on doing that. But even then, it didn't bother me that much because he was creepy as hell and I loved it.
Right.
You know? But then following up before or afterwards with the kids joking around, like, I'm not going to remember any of the kids' names, like, their real life names. But, like, the kid from fucking Stranger Things, that
Finn.
Kid.
I do remember his name is Finn.
Finn, like, he stood out so hardcore for me. And they all did so a good job. Like, I felt the ensemble of this cast
was hilarious.
Perfection.
The kid who was playing Eddie was also really, he had every moment. Like, I know that the audience that we saw it with, that moment where he's finally confronting his mom.
Yeah.
I don't want to give away what the joke is.
but it's also funny.
In case people haven't seen it yet, but it was so funny.
It was amazing. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Their banter with each other, like, it felt like they were really friends. Like,
totally.
I still love the original TV version of it. It was still great, you know, first time. But, like, I felt like these kids really knew each other in real life. I felt like they were friends, you know, and the way they worked off each other was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, it took me, like, as excited as I am for chapter two, I kind of have this gut feeling you guys aren't going to compare to the children.
Because
the kids, man, they stole the show.
High bar.
You know?
Yeah. And I think one of the reasons why it felt so natural was because it was consistent. It wasn't like it went from scary moment to funny moment to scary moment to funny moment and was really structured out. It was just constant. In the middle of the scary moments, there were funny moments. Like, it was so constant and consistent. And I feel like the way that they structured it, where it's like, it's not this constant, like, sort of flashback thing, really let the world get set and let their relationship sort of grow without constantly interrupting it with, like, that was then, here's now.
Yeah,
that was then, here's now. But they did add in the reference at the end when she's talking. Like, they foreshadowed it.
Yeah.
Again, I don't want to give it away.
I don't know if we're spoiling that much. Like, if you've seen that's the true. Original and read the book. Like,
yeah, that's true.
It does follow up quite a bit of all that, you know.
She I does, would say, like, at the end, once they kind of, like, regroup, they're talking about seeing themselves as adults.
Yeah.
And the memories are already starting to fade, which was, like, a big thing in the original.
Yeah.
But...
And I say another thing, like, you touched upon, saying, like, the loss of innocence, which has been a big thing when talking about this film, and people have seen it. Like, I don't think this is a spoiler, because I'm going to mention something that doesn't happen in the movie, but it happens in the book, and people and it's been brought up quite a bit, is that in the book, like, there is a sex scene amongst all the kids, and where they truly lose their innocence so that they can't be hurt again, much.
Yeah.
And, like, they don't do that in the movie. They have their circle... of cut their hands and hold each other, and it's like their blood bond, in which I personally like. I thought that was a great choice. Like, I wouldn't have wanted to see
a
bunch
no.
of little kids do that. No. And I'm glad that Stephen King himself, like, even he said in an interview, it's like it worked for the time of when I wrote it, but for this day and age, that doesn't work.
Yeah,
and I'm glad that he could see that, which is wonderful. Yeah. Sometimes a writer's like, "This is what I wrote. That's what I want," you know.
Yeah.
So, but like, for me, it's like, yeah, I like this a lot more.
If that's what he wants.
Yeah.
He seems like a pretty smart guy, and he knows that you can't, like, there's so many reasons why you can't
show the
audience.
Yeah.
Like, you can't have actors.
No.
And just that sort of imagery. Like, I don't like that at all.
The holding hands in the circle.
Yeah.
That little bit of him with the cat.
With the lover over loser thing? Loser.
That's
yes.
actually my computer wallpaper right now here in the office.
No, yeah. Yeah, I love that.
That was it.
Every sentiment.
Yeah. There were so many tiny little things that just made every part feel so real.
Yeah.
And so, like, a legitimate, like you were saying, like a legitimate, like, bond and friendship between them.
Yeah, it's like, I felt like I want to be friends with these kids.
Yeah.
Like, I think younger me would have hung out with the losers group, you know, the losers club. Like, that would have been a part of that club.
Yeah.
You know? And I've been okay with that. It's like, no, this is, they're not losers club. This is the cool club. Yeah. Have you heard this kid's jokes about this other kid's mom? All right. They are on point.
Also, the soundtrack for this movie was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I guess, like you said, it was a great period piece, you know, which was, like, really cool about the first one, too. Like, they did a good job in both films to capture that time and the essence of that time. Like, for me, like, as an 80s kid, it's like, yeah, I brought me right back. It's like, I feel like I'm back in the 80s now. Mm-hmm. I'm totally feeling it. As someone who's from the New England area, like, yes, I totally feel like you brought me back home right now in that time period. 100%. But the thing I gotta say about this movie that made me feel like I kind of like this more. Of course I like this more. This was a better movie. But like, one of the things that made me feel like, man, why are people living in this town? This is a bad, effed up town. Don't live here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, the adults. Like, never mind what Pennywise was doing. These adults were so disconnected and bad people. And like, I don't think I remember watching, like, one adult in this film that was responsible or cared at all. Like, that scene where, like, Ben is getting traumatized by the bullies and everything.
Yeah.
Which was far, like, every scene that is slightly mimicked from, like, the original TV series was amplified in such an intense way.
Even just from the opening scene.
The opening alone, yeah. Like, I'm going to say it. I don't care. People, if you haven't seen it, watch it, all right? Freaking Georgie loses his freaking arm, all right? It bites his arm off.
Which is how it was in the book. And the fact, like, it really, like, that opening scene set the tone for the movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't a little girl on her trike getting, like, presumably taken because just her trike is there. Like, it showed you everything.
Yes.
And it, from the get-go, was just like, this is what this movie is going to be.
She's going to get real.
You're going to see it. You're going to see this kid lose his arm and begin to bleed out trying to crawl away, and the thing grabs him and pulls him back anyway.
And that's where, like, it all starts with the adults not caring. Because as that's happening, it's like, it's pouring torrential rain. And there's this old lady who sees him near, like, this drain gutter. Yeah. And she just, like, lets it be. Like, in the neighborhood where we live in, like, right now, like, we live in Santa Rosa, Petaluma area. The people up here, if they saw a random little child in the pouring rain, like, in the street,
they were like, hey, son, what are you doing there?
Yeah, dude,
you
know, if my mom would say something. Sees a kid outside alone and it's not the middle of the day in a neighborhood, she's like calling people.
Right.
Like, and granted, like, my mom is very much that type of person who, like, sees a kid outside, is, like, super fixated and worried about it. Shout out to my mom, who cares a lot.
Good job, Lenny's mom. Good job. But, yeah, like, it all started there. Like, and from there on, like, all all the adults.
Even Bill and Georgie's dad.
Yeah.
And, like, from that scene when he's, like, he's dead. You need to stop trying to find him. It's just, like... Dude, I get that you're upset, but this is your son who just lost his brother, his baby brother.
Like, what a bad dad.
Yeah. Yeah, now that you say that, there's no...
Like, I can't think of one. I can't think of one adult. Because even the pharmacist dude was creepy as hell.
Yeah.
All right? Like this little girl, granted, she's fully aware of what she's doing, like, using her womanly ways against him. But he should just be like, what are you doing? You're a child. Yeah. Stop doing that.
No, you can't try on your glasses. Like,
yeah, that's not good for you.
No.
Yeah, everyone, like every adult. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to, like, think. I was like, there must be, like, one person. I'm like, no.
No, that all you're saying bad. That there's not, like.
You know, like the couple who drove by as Ben's getting stabbed. You know, it's like, wow, dude.
Is the lady that was going around putting up missing posters for?
But how good of a parent was she that her son is now missing? Things to think about. Because I'm assuming it's her son.
They were putting missing posters on top of other missing posters. So,
yeah.
Your child's not important anymore. Yeah. My child's important now.
Yeah. That was another thing I loved, like, in that there were constantly, like, missing posters in the background that the camera never focused on. Like, there was one on a milk carton that just stayed blurred in the background. But the fact that they gave so much depth of, like, there's a ton of missing people. But the fact that none of them ever did anything about it, yeah, that's pretty. What is up with
no
the
one
adults
true,
of Derry?
No one truly cared.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, for me, that was, besides, like, Pennywise, like, that was the most, like, frightening thing to think about in that film. It's like, wow, I can't imagine living in a town where no one cares at all. It's like, that's, none their town was worse than living in New York.
Yeah.
And no one cares in New York, I'll tell you that right now, right? They can give a crap.
The fact that, that Ben was the one to say, like, there's clearly information available that the missing persons rate in Derry is so much higher, because he comes out and says, and he says it even in one of the trailers, it's like the rate of people going missing in Derry is 6 times higher than the national average, and it's worse for kids. Like, should we not be looking into this?
Yeah.
Like,
him being an outsider definitely adds to that, that noticing.
Yeah.
Because, like, that part of that, too, is because, like, you know how, like, when they're, like, they're already starting to forget stuff. And then, like, in the last one, and they're adults, they're like, I totally forget what happened. You know, I forgot. Maybe it's part of that. Maybe
that's what I'm kind of wondering,
maybe it
too.
Affects everyone in such a way, which I think that's supposed to be kind of the idea of it.
Yeah.
It affects everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, so these parents that are already kind of not great parents to begin with kind of have, like, they're clouded over with this whole...
Yeah, makes kids afraid and adults complacent or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely a parental disconnect between everyone.
Yeah.
Which was sad. Guys, also, like, you know, you mentioned, like, the music.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the opening of just, like, the very beginning of him, like, Georgie and Ben.
Bill.
Georgie and Bill together and everything, and the piano in the background. Because it starts off, you hear the piano. It's like, oh, it sounds really cool. This is really nice setting the tone.
Yeah.
And they come downstairs and you find out it's the mom playing the piano. It's like, oh, that was really cool transition there.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like when, totally when it's like,
It's a simple little thing, but it's like, it made me so happy that they did that. And it's like, it meant nothing really. But I was like, that's really cool. I like that so much.
Well, that was kind of a throwback to the original too, because she was playing piano in the original in the opening.
Did it last night? I can't remember now. Does it, like, is that what they used as the opening music?
I don't know, because the original starts with
Lorianne
because it's for the time, modern times. So it doesn't start with them as kids.
Yeah.
It starts with them as adults. But during the scene with Bill and Georgie, she is playing piano. But I don't know if it's, like, supposed to sound like, like soundtrack,
like music, a score in the background,
like a score, and then you find out it's real. I don't feel like it did that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the opening, but yeah, they kind of tied it in with that, because that, I guess, was kind of a thing.
For me, that was strong. Mm-hmm. That first, like, 10 minutes was, like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, totally, like, the opening scene, like, I think I turned to Olivia and was like, oh, this movie is literally go hard or go home.
Yeah. I remember once I wanted to sit next to Chase and I wanted to say something, but it seemed like I was enjoying it so much, it's like, I can't wait. I can't say anything right now. I don't want to miss anything. Yeah. I feel like if I say anything, I'm going to miss something important.
Yeah.
And so, like, I stayed quiet. I was just, like, eyes wide, and it's like, oh, my God.
I'm sort of like, oh, okay. Excuse me. I didn't know that we were on that level. Like, we're just going straight for it. Like, literally, like.
Yeah. Yeah. I still didn't see that. Like, everything that happened, I was like, I did not see that coming. I'm so impressed.
They really.
You know? And it ended as strong as it started, it ended just as strong, mm-hmm. too. Like, I guess, like, talked about before in the past, my wife, Jen, who's our art director, you know, she doesn't like clowns. She hates them, gets her angry. You know, even though she has clarified, it's not that she gets, like, she's going to hurt anybody if she sees one. Just don't get on her nerves as she sees one. So now we know. But I was like, I told her, it's like, you got to watch this movie. I was like, I know you don't want to see clowns and stuff like that. I was like, how about when it comes on DVD, I'll edit it so you don't see any of the clown part. Like, you got to watch these kids. These kids are amazing. Yeah. And then at the end, just watch one little clown part because it's going to pay off. All right? Because they beat the crap out of this clown, Jen.
They really did.
Oh, my God. They beat the crap out of this clown.
Dude, all the transforming that it was doing in that scene as sort of like a throwback to all the different ways that it changed.
Like, everything, yeah.
Yeah. Just, like, that constant morphing, it was so...
You know what it reminded me of? It brought me back to, like, T2, Terminator, mm-hmm. of, like, when... He's the end scene of when he's dying, the T-1000, like, you see him transforming back into mm-hmm. everything he transformed into along the movie. That's what made me think of that, but possibly better.
I felt like there were a lot of, like, little, like, scene references like to other things in this movie. Because what stood out to me was the scene with Beverly at the sink. You know, in the original, it's like a balloon comes out and pops, and there's some blood in the sink, but this one covered the entire room. And she's, like, standing there over the sink getting blasted. Like, it reminded me of two things. It reminded me of The Shining with the elevators where it just starts flooding blood all over the place. The part that they showed, like, four times in the movie.
Yeah.
and it also reminded me of, I forget the name of his character, but when Johnny Depp's character died in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
Because I just rewatched that recently. Like, that fountain of blood coming up and flooding his whole room out of his bed. Mm-hmm. And his parents are standing there like, what's happening? It totally felt like a combination, like a throwback to those two things. And I don't know.
Yeah, I could definitely envision that.
Intended it, but that's definitely what it reminded me of. Which I think kind of fits because... From the opening scene with in Bill's room, the movie posters that we were talking about, Gremlins and Beetlejuice, like, clearly he's a horror fan. Not that those are, like, hardcore horror, but...
No, but it's definitely a nod to, like, the genre in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I felt like it was definitely a reference to those things.
Yeah. I'm excited again. I can't wait to watch this movie again, honestly. Just for the build up, like, I want to see that ending again. I want to see those kids beat the crap out of Pennywise.
I know. I'm
like,
definitely, when
they
I
fight
it,
him in the original, and it's like in the original TV series, and it's okay. But,
well, they
fight
him with a slingshot.
Yeah, and they're like, "F the slingshot, man."
And no, they've got bats, they've got poles.
Just like the lead up into it, like, I love the dialogue. Like, I don't care if I'm spoiling stuff right now. I really don't care. We gotta talk about it. Mm-hmm. So, if you're listening, spoilers, I'm so sorry. But, like, Pennywise has Bill. And I just love the whole moment of, like, Bill willing to sacrifice himself for his friends and everyone else.
Oh,
like,
totally.
It's like, just go. I'm sorry I did this to you. Go.
Yeah.
You know, and Pennywise making this deal almost like a devil, like the devil, you know, it's like, you know,
totally.
I'll let him go. I'll let you go if I can take him. Deal? Deal? You know?
You can live. Yeah. Like,
And then the freaking friend Finn, he's like, I told you, Bill. I told you I didn't want to come down here. I told you I didn't want to die. I told you this. And now I got to beat the out of this clown. And he just takes a pipe and knocks the crap out of him. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, damn, Finn, get it. Get it.
Bev a couple times in the movie comes in from the side with a pole and just like jabs him with it.
Yeah.
She's so good in this movie. And I've seen some reviews that people are like, oh, like they made her into, like, there was some review that.
But they made her into a badass? Is that a bad thing?
They said that she was a damsel in distress because it got her at one point. And I was like, it got everyone else at one point too, though. Like, it legit straight up was going to kill Stan until they came in and saved him. Which, again, hers was a little bit more sort of like drawn out, but
I felt she was the strongest one of the group.
She absolutely was the strongest one of the group. It's like, if you took that one part where it takes her and she's floating out of context, and then if, like, the whole, like, oh, they turned her into, like, a sleeping beauty because they had to, again, this is spoilers, sorry, guys, like, Ben has to kiss her to wake her up.
Yeah.
It's sort of like
Chase looks disappointed in us, like, we're ruining
that
everything.
That wasn't supposed to turn her into a sleeping beauty. It was supposed to hint at the whole thing of, like, in the original, those two are the ones that, like, get together. And he was the one who wrote her the postcard and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. I feel like if you took everything else out of context of the movie. I've seen some reviews of this movie that I have a lot of complaints about.
Yeah.
And the one, like, there was one reviewer that was talking about, like, how modern horror does that super loud sound in the back of all the jump scares that doesn't contextually make sense. And I'm like, okay, I can kind of concede that point. But then they turned it into a comparison of all the modern, like, sort of like run of the mill, no substance horror movies where it's just jump scare one after the other. And they were like, oh, this movie is kind of like that in the same way, because, like, it's like, this happens, and then this happens. That's a verbatim line, by the way. And I'm like, you can't use that to describe every movie ever, or life in general. Like, this happens, and then this happens.
So how'd you get to the movie? Well, I went to the car, and then this happens, and this happens.
I guess you could kind of compare it to every bad horror movie in that case, because there were events that took place.
Stuff like that annoys me. Mm-hmm. I personally disagree. I thought she was the strongest character.
Totally.
To me, she's the strongest character for the fact that she's the only one of the group who actually fought back her fears before the whole Pennywise thing. Because her greatest fear is her dad, who obviously did something to her sexually, you know, and she attacked his ass. Yeah.
Broke a mirror or whatever over his head.
Like, yeah, she is the strong one. Yeah, and the fact that she had to be put in a sleep mode, you know, that just showed how strong she was, that Pennywise couldn't take her like he took everyone else.
Yeah.
He had to use a whole new tactic to stop her.
Yeah, I feel like it wasn't so much like the damsel in distress trope as it was like the take out the big guns trope. What are we going to do without our main hitter? Like, because she definitely established herself as like that.
And because, like, clearly every boy in that group loved her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you take away the one thing that they all definitely love, it's like if you took away, like, Ben or took away Mike, it's like one or two people would be like, oh, hey, wait, no.
Yeah,
that's my homie.
Yeah. Not my bro.
He's our friend. Like, it would very much be like a, we gotta do it because we're a band of friends. We are the band of seven. Yeah. Whereas, that's totally. I didn't even think of that point.
Yeah,
she is the one. Like, of course, they don't want to lose the girl of the group, the one girl that hangs out with all of these little nerds. Like,
yeah, the loser.
When people start writing those kind of reviews and stuff, I hate people like that. They just go into the movie looking like, I'm going to be offended by this. I'm going to find every little way to try and tie that in.
Yeah.
It's like, but that didn't happen. No, because when I was in the movie and I saw it and I thought it, and it's true now.
Right.
Like, no, you're an idiot. Yeah. You should shut up.
There were people I heard people saying it was sexist and racist, and I was like,
this was so much less racist than the other one, and the only racism was supposed to be there. It wasn't because it's like, this movie's really
They
racist.
Were like, oh, well, he's, it was intended of course, the black time. Kid is the one with the dead parents. And I was like, they died because people were being racist to them. Like, did you miss that part? I don't know. I have a lot of complaints about some other reviewers. Like,
Complaints about other people complaining.
Yeah.
All you people
That's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
There was Shut someone up. this is actually the same reviewer I was talking about earlier that was talking about the noises in the background, which was, I feel like, their main basis for not liking the movie.
Yeah.
They were like, sounds. I didn't understand why did they did this, this, and this.
Why
and
did
I
they
like,
put sounds in the movie?
Because they had source material that they were relying on. That's why, like,
right?
take the issue up with the source material and not this one movie. But actually, this part I heard from Olivia because I got irritated and turned the review off before I got to this part. But apparently they were talking about, like, oh, it just felt so, like, grabbing at horror scenes. Like, it reminded me of this one thing I heard about Nightmare on Elm Street, where it's supposed to be one kill every 8 minutes. And that just, that kind of thing just doesn't hold up. And I'm like, you're comparing it to Nightmare on Elm Street, saying it's not going to hold up. Like, one of the most successful and, like, long-lasting, like, horror franchises ever.
Yeah.
And you're saying it's not going to hold up when the Nightmare on Elm Street has a lot of fans and it's not going to
And a lot of films.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Some people are just dumb, you know?
Anyway.
They're just stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have nothing against people who didn't like it or who wrote, like, bad reviews or do that in general. But it seems like people are definitely looking... In this movie in particular, which is setting box office records, by the way.
Which I'm very glad it is.
Yeah. Which kind of brings me back to my original point of, I feel like horror is going to start to get better. This is how we got into it. Like, yeah. Like looking at movies like the new It and like Get Out that are,
yeah,
are really kind of blowing expectations out of the water because they're such high quality movies and not just whatever films.
Yeah, and they're definitely making you think in a different way. Like, it's changing now people's perspective on how
now
horror film is.
Now that Warner acquired New Line and told it specifically go back to doing horror, and this is what came of it, is the new It, I feel like we could be in for some good stuff. I'm hoping Universal will kind of
take
notice. See that and take notes. And so I refuse to give up hope for the Dark Universe.
Dark Universe, A New Hope.
Yeah. I agree, though, because there was like a time where there was just good horror movies, and then there was just
the 80s
of sequels and then ripoffs to the sequels. And it's like, okay, first movie was good. Oh, second one was pretty cool. Third one was softcore porn. So were the next six. Okay, I get it. This isn't horror anymore. This is now...
It's just torture. You're thinking of the 2000s.
Yeah. It's just like you're either torturing somebody or you're making like something that's either full of jump scares completely and nothing
and
legitimate.
No substance.
No substance.
Yeah.
Nothing in there.
Yeah.
So like it's good to see finally like horror is coming back in a way to where it's like, oh, there's a few jump scares, but there's also things that are legitimately creepy that make you think like if there was no jump scare here and I just saw that, I would be a little nervous.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, this is scary.
I feel like we were kind of going into like a horror, because it really felt like the horror genre was kind of dead for a while.
It was about to be a horror renaissance.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Because
if you
think about these new horror movies that are busting box office records, beating out other movies that are meant to be into, like huge blockbusters, we've had a lot more horror TV shows over the last few years.
Yeah,
that's true.
Because even like there's The Exorcist that we've talked about. Yeah. There's
American Horror Story has been freaking pumping
Horror
it out
Story.
Every year.
There's I felt like I think it was called The Following or The Followers. It was
I think it was The Following.
The Following, the one with Kevin Bacon.
Yes.
It wasn't a horror, but it was definitely a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
That was I watched it and I loved it. It was amazing.
Yeah. I didn't watch the second season. I watched the first season.
It
and
was
I was
still
like,
just as good.
I was like, oh my God, like we've got American Horror Story. We've got this. Like, I'm so into like what is going on with TV going kind of back. Because even that, though it wasn't straight up horror, had what I felt like were a lot of horror elements. Like,
yeah,
this whole,
no, it's
like,
true. Like this, like that Scream kind of feel.
Yeah.
Like, I don't consider Scream like a horror film because it's a slasher film, but still consider a horror movie, you know, but it really makes you, it gets to you mentally as opposed to really being afraid of like a monster of sorts, I feel.
Yeah.
You know? Because then it's like, who is the killer? I don't know.
I feel like horror games are starting to kind of come back a little bit.
Yeah.
So I have high hopes for what the horror genre in general.
Yeah.
Bringing it back.
Yes.
Got to get that horror renaissance.
Yeah. Hashtag horror renaissance. Hashtag horror renaissance. Yeah. It's going to become a thing. Starting now.
New Hellraiser is coming out. Yeah, sorry, I guess I just sort of yelled that out of nowhere, but I mean, we're doing remakes that are turning out well, apparently.
Yeah.
Is this one
hopefully
straight to DVD?
Yeah, straight to video.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah. And it's supposed to come out in 2017. They still haven't said anything yet about when it's coming out.
Mind. I haven't been keeping up on
it. Yeah. No, you know, it could be really good, honestly. Like, I mean, we had the little cricket sound there for a moment, but I just goes like in our hearts. It's like Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm only ever going to want to see Robert Englund be Freddy Krueger. So like I only want to see Doug Bradley be Pinhead. Yeah. I don't ever want to see someone else do that role.
Well, then same thing with Pennywise. People only ever want to see Tim Curry. Well,
see, for me, the exception there is...
Bill Skarsgård did a real good job.
There was only one film for that. You know what I mean? Like, there was a franchise for these other guys. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, when you played a character, like, for over five films, it's like, you're the person people want to see.
Yeah.
He only did this character once, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like Bill had free reign to whatever he wanted.
New Pennywise is different enough from Tim... Because two Pennywises are almost not the same character.
Yeah.
They're so different. Like, even like, I mean, of course the voice is different because no one can do Tim Curry like Tim Curry does.
Yeah.
But the
we're close.
But Bill Skarsgård did a really good job as Pennywise, I feel like.
I like that.
I loved the voice that he did, like, even just the part with Georgie, where he's talking to him, like, without your boat, like, it's so different.
Yeah.
It's like
so creepy.
I love it.
It made me think of, like, even like what you're saying is like how he's not like a regular clown, like how Tim Curry's clown was a clown, while Bill's clown, it feels like someone who's trying to emulate something, which adds to his speech. Like, of course he's not going to talk like we do because he doesn't know how to talk like how we do.
Right.
You know?
He's just drooling the whole time.
Yeah.
He's got the buck teeth. He does that, like, creepy dance with the fires of hell going behind him. Like,
the bass for that thing was, like, so intense.
I know. And the image stabilization on just his face. Like, I've been watching, like, GIFs of that, and it's so creepy.
Yeah.
Because it really just makes you feel like this is a totally non-human thing that is trying to be human for some reason, and he's got no reason to still keep up appearances
at all
at this point. And he's trying to do it anyway with his weird circus dance. And it's just like, it just makes me feel like this, like I said earlier, this weird eldritch horror is just really devoted to this clown. It's just like, I want to be a clown. I want to screw everyone's head up.
Yeah, I just feel like it shows like
I'm into this.
The it itself is always like something, it could be mentally wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we said that word so far?
A lot.
Yeah.
You tell us. We want to know.
We're down.
How many times have we said it?
Yeah.
Just messing up right now. It's like it. Stop it, George. Don't do that. Don't mess with the people who listen to us. It and mother.
Mother it.
Well, that wraps up another Famous Monsters podcast. Chase, tell them where they can follow us. Like how dramatic that was.
I almost went straight to pins and needles.
Pins and needles.
Let's see. Twitter and Instagram, @ Famous Monsters. Facebook, @ FMOFL. Or just search for Famous Monsters of Filmland. And YouTube. Famous Monsters of Filmland. That's where you're going to find us.
That's where you're going to find us for sure. And don't forget to watch that FMTV on Coffee 20 on Saturdays at 10 p.m. If you're missing it, you're making some mistakes. But that's okay because you can always go to that YouTube channel.
Watch them reruns.
Check those clips.
Check it out.
Clips, full episodes, everything and anything. FM. If you want to learn anything else about FM, like that little jig you just did right now. Want to learn anything else about Famous Monsters? Check out famousmonsters.com. This is George, the Jack of All Trades, with Eleni the Falcon.
That was beautiful.
I tried. I've been practicing at home. And Chase, our social coordinator. Coordinator.
I'm thinking we should also let them know that original members of the first.
Oh, snap. How can we forget that?
Yeah, we just got those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we're so excited. Yes. Yeah, there's going to be three of the original cast members from the original It. The people who played young Beverly Marsh, young Ben, and young Mike.
Yeah,
so are Mike, all going to be, yeah.
Mike was Marlon Taylor, played him. Emily Perkins played Beverly, and Brandon Crane played Ben.
Mm-hmm. Boom, name drops.
Emily Perkins also was one of the two main girls in the Ginger Snaps movies, by the way. Yeah.
So no stranger to the horror genre.
Not a bit.
And I hear something about maybe having some clown guests at our show, too.
Yeah.
I know, this is a speculation, just hearsay. I don't know. It might happen, might not. I don't know. You'll have to come and find out yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe you can be taking pictures with clowns and some people from It. I don't know. I know I will be.
Yeah.
Me too.
For sure. Definitely. Yeah. And I'll never show it to Jen because I don't want to get hit.
She will swing on you.
Most definitely. All right. Good listens and good night.